Welcome to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com. Ladies?
.com.
.com.
You said ladies?
I said ladies. You were supposed to respond to it.
Oh. Well, I know Warren did.
What are you talking about, Warren? You're supposed to say something like that. Phil, what's wrong with you?
Well, he responded, so I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Hello, everybody. How's that? Yeah, is that better?
There you go. Much better.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. That's right. He's got his Gomer Pyle thing going this morning.
We started having him talk about the South where he went to college. He was like, he said he went to college in West Virginia Elementary School.
I know what you drive.
That's all right. That's all right. You can burn it. It's insured.
I didn't know they had colleges in West Virginia.
They do. It's called elementary school.
Oh, okay.
That's for them edumacate people.
Okay.
Dun-da-dun.
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on, guys?
Absolutely
It's going to be a rough intro if you guys have nothing to say.
But, you know, I mean, I kind of feel like on another show I vented about what happened to me this weekend where I tried to watch racing.
Yeah.
But I was on the right channel and everything, but they actually didn't have any racing. It's just a bunch of cars driving nose to tail.
We
did have Supercross.
We had Supercross this weekend, and we got World Superbike coming up this
weekend. I know. I'm excited. And the old guy who lives two houses down from me who is already excited, he's like, what do you want my wife to make us for lunch? Because he's going to come down and watch the races with me.
Oh, okay.
So he's an old retired British guy. I might drag him into the studio one day just because he has a British accent. I think that'd make our show cool.
Okay, so he's
going to at least raise the intelligence of, you know.
Do you know when World Superbike is on this weekend? You know it's in Australia.
Yeah, well, we're going to watch it like Sunday afternoon or something.
Okay, you're going to watch it on demand.
On demand. Well, yeah. I mean, that's why we bought the package.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't have to stay up all night to watch it.
It's not like when we used to watch it on that sketchy site and have to stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning
exactly.
to watch it in a low def with Chinese advertising.
Yeah, right.
It's not like those days.
Yeah, and for those of us who don't have Al Jazeera TV.
You're right. Well, I did it.
We can't watch it live.
You know, I'm an American. So. I don't support terrorism, so I didn't do that. But
Al Gore.
Or Al Gore.
Yeah.
So my neighbor two houses down, he's a big World Superbike MotoGP and F1 fan. And when I met him, he asked me what I did, and I was like, I told him about the Doghouse, and he's like, you know, he was all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're talking motorcycle racing for like 45 minutes.
Hmm.
So his wife was like, oh, I'm glad he's finally got somebody to talk to because everybody around here is just NASCAR.
Yeah,
and we don't watch that. And I was like, well, yeah. So he's like, I didn't get to see many of the races. He goes, you know, because he was getting up.
He's not from around here, is he?
No, he's from England. He's a really cool old dude. If you ever look up, you want to see who my neighbor is, Google search.
You're not going to give out his name, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Google search Middleburg, Virginia Christmas Parade, and it will have a picture of this guy leading the fox hunt down through the middle of, you know, the hounds and stuff through the middle of Middleburg. That's actually my neighbor. The shot was like 20 years ago. That's what he did. He led the fox hunt at the local hunting club, you know. So he was master of hounds, I guess they call him, something like that.
Hmm.
I was like, that sounds like you should be on Game of Thrones. Then you got the accent.
Yeah, really, master of hounds.
Right? I was like, you the man. Hmm. So I got the packages for MotoGP and World Superbike, and he's like, well, we only do the internet on our phone, and that kind of sucks. So I was like, well, you should come down to my house. So he's going to come down, and his wife's like, well, I'll make you guys lunch.
Well, then now you can introduce him to Moto America, too.
Maybe.
Is she British as well?
No, she's American.
She's American. Is she, like, American from out in your way American?
I don't think so.
Is she American, like, Warren's family American?
No, I think she's...
What the hey.
Does that mean you're going to be eating possum?
I think she's... Yeah, maybe. my neighborhood, that's good eating.
That's opossum to you.
I'm going to say, because she married a guy who was the master of hounds, I'm going to say...
They're eating dog?
No, I'm not having chance.
There goes our last British
goodbye,
listener.
Goodbye, Korean listeners.
You didn't get the fox. You're going to the dinner table.
You're going to Phil's.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guesstimate...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guesstimate that she was kind of rich Lily White town person. I think one of my nearby towns that has a little bit of money.
Like
Middleburg,
like
maybe.
Middleburg?
I mean, how else do you get to meet the
master but nobody in Middleburg had money until rich people started moving to Middleburg because it became a destination.
You know, the
once they started leaving D.C.
Okay. you don't really meet people that work at the Fox Club, you know, the Fox Hunting Club.
Yeah.
If you're broke. Poor people don't go there.
I understand that.
Maybe she, worse, she was a waitress.
What happened was a lot of, like, really rich people, like the
movie star,
the Kent family and the movie stars, people started buying property around there. And that's what made that town. There's no old money there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I can tell. There's no old money anywhere.
But you know what? Money's good, even if it's new.
Yeah.
Because spends the same.
I don't have
old money or new money.
Green cash.
I'll take either one.
Cash.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what we'll be having for lunch.
Yeah. I watched Supercross this weekend.
I watched Supercross as well this weekend.
We
have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about it, and we're going to talk some about the final testing, I guess, in World Superbike, because we got a World Superbike MotoGP pool we got to get our picks in for this week. So we'll do that. And if you're not participating, you should go check it out.
You should go F yourself.
You should go out to Facebook and do a search for Doghouse World Superbike MotoGP pool.
Or send us an email. We'll put you in that one.
Or send an email.
Looks like they lied to me before. All right. We'll have to go.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about lies. Who lied to you in particular?
The report I read on one website about the final, who was fastest in final practice just ending, final testing in Phillip Isle for World Superbike, and on another site are two different Pebbles.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
You can't find the results, actually, on World Superbike's actual official
page?
They
haven't posted them up yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that
so
new?
You could take either incorrect speculation or be patient, right?
I will do the incorrect speculation.
Every single time.
That's not even a
question. Who do I want to win? Let me see.
Do I care what the... Don't concern me with the facts.
I'd really like it if Nikki Hayden was exceptionally fast.
Yeah.
So let's put that down.
We're just going to say that. Even if it's not true.
So, and we, you know, that is something to keep in mind. I mean, we're actually going to have, an American racing in World Superbike for the first time in a couple of years since some gentleman from Ohio was there racing on a bike. Do you remember?
Pegram?
Think Pegram, exactly. It's been a couple of years, right?
Now I was having to think about it. For some reason, I wanted to say
I was just testing you to see whether or not you figured that out. You did it. You did pretty good, Phil. I'm impressed. Yeah, Larry Pegram. It's been 2 years.
I was like, who do I know that's fast from Ohio?
Yeah,
nobody.
Well, actually,
so that's how I got
actually, I met a couple girls in Cleveland once. They were both pretty quick.
Yeah, they stole your wallet.
not as fast as me, though, Phil.
Yeah, you know, them ugly women chase you down. They're like track stars. They're like, oh, hey, hook up with me. You know,
there is no such thing as an ugly woman when you've had enough alcohol.
or after 12 o'clock.
There goes our last female listener.
Bye.
Bye, Sherry. It was nice knowing you. Anyway, so, okay, well, and you did nothing more. You did absolutely nothing.
I watched TV on Sunday because it was kind of nasty out.
Yeah.
And Saturday we did errands, and that was about it.
Wow.
It was a very lazy weekend.
Betty played 4 hours of video games somewhere.
So. Didn't do that either.
Didn't play.
Really?
Did you play any video games?
Not this weekend.
Wow.
Did you do house chores?
I did some stuff on Saturday. Sunday didn't do a dang thing.
Did you try on your wife's clothes?
No. No.
Then your weekend was nothing like Ken's. That was so wrong.
It was. All right, well, I guess we'll go to a
break.
Funny.
We are going to break because that's what
the music says. A little bit early, but that's okay.
We come back, we're going to talk about something that's very high octane.
We're going to talk about something that's very high octane. Can you tease a little better than just that?
Well, octane makes you go fast. So.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, but
you
that's close as I'm going to get
to
it.
I did a couple weeks
that's
ago.
That's true. You are very
octane,
true.
High octane to me is means
it makes
like
it hot. It's going to be hot.
Wow. Okay.
We're going supernova on the Doghouse next.
Oh, apparently. Stick around, folks.
you guys will be surprised what happened during the break.
Where are we,
Warren? We're at the doghouse on NTN.
How about welcome back to the doghouse on NTN?
I got so distracted by what you guys were doing.
He did. He got very distracted.
You guys are sharing a video of men washing their hair, and it just kind of disturbed
me. Not you guys, Ken.
You guys. Well, you wanted to see it.
I know. I said I don't want to see it. I know the loser who posted it.
I did, in fact, share a picture of...
Actually, a video.
A video.
Of half-naked men washing their hair. That's what you did.
I mean, they're a public shower, so it's not like they're
aren't all showers
anywhere.
Public if you have a webcam.
And I did share it, so I fully admit that.
Okay.
Nothing gay about it at all. It's rather humorous. Okay.
That's what he says.
Well.
I've never seen anything like that.
Okay, guys. So when we went out, I said we were going to talk about something high octane, and that's the new Victory Octane motorcycle.
Yeah,
I love it.
Which has been talked about for months.
And
actually more than months. I think almost a year now. And they've done a great job of keeping it quiet. They did a great job. I mean, keeping pictures of the bike.
Yeah,
quiet.
The finished production bike. Yes.
Yeah, because there were all these people speculation because they had some.
I want one.
They had some. It is a cool bike.
I want one. Well, somebody needs to buy me one.
Okay. If you've seen the Indian Scout, you've basically seen this bike with some touches. Now, I gotta admit that it is cooler.
Yeah.
Than the Indian Scout, but I think it's based on the same premise as a Scout. I don't know if you actually shared anything, but a lot of it is similar. But, you know, as far as the engine goes, there's nothing similar to it. It's got a 1200cc liquid-cooled V-twin, dual overhead cams, four valve heads, makes 104 horsepower at 8,000 RPMs. And that's the most in the Victory lineup, and probably the most in just about any.
How many horsepower did you say?
104 at 8,000 RPMs.
104 sounds a little low.
For this bike? No, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For this type of bike? No.
Seems a little low to me.
Well, it's not a sport bike.
Still, 104 seems a little low. If you'd said 120, maybe. Okay. That's low. I mean, this was supposedly their great new technology motor. This bike's all about the motor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's a good way to talk about that bike.
And 104 horsepower just isn't all that impressive.
Well, it's got 76 foot-pounds of torque.
And it weighs like 4 pounds.
Well, 528. Wet.
Yeah.
That's so, not light, Phil. 528. Oh, okay, Phil, maybe it is.
I mean, that's not even double my weight.
That's just mean. That's just mean.
Hey, that's not even double my weight.
That's right.
Now, it's based on the the engine is the one that they showed at the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, what they called the Project 156.
Yes.
So they've actually run this motor up and down Pikes Peak and a few other places. It's a 6-speed belt drive. Does the quarter mile in 12 seconds. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's like slow compared to... That's pretty.
It's not sport bikes. It's not a sport bike.
That's slower than my pickup.
No, I don't think so, Phil.
No, your pickup's not going to do a quarter in 12.
I don't think your pickup do a quarter. No, there's no way your pickup's doing a quarter
12
in 12 days. Right.
When 12 hours.
Launched off the catapult on an aircraft carrier, I'll bet you do it.
And does 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
My Mosler will go faster than that.
I mean, you know, okay. So it's a cool looking bike. It's a Victory, so we know it's going to be reliable.
It's got some decent performance.
Yeah.
Some of the things I thought was kind of interesting was the speedometer goes up to 200 miles per hour.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you always want to go.
You know why?
70 miles.
They
an
got
hour
a
fast.
Really good deal on those speedometers.
Right, because they made them for motorcycles, and no one goes there.
Yeah.
One thing I that you haven't mentioned is the price.
Oh, I'm working towards that.
That's the most attractive thing about it.
Yeah, it is a very nice price. It's a cast aluminum frame, same as the Indian Scout. Now, the appearance is not going to be for everyone. It's for me, it's a very first-generation stealth fighter-looking thing. It only comes in one color, and they call it the matte super steel gray.
Yeah, which I
okay,
think
but
is
I
black.
Still don't see it.
More yeah, black.
How about
more
flat black?
Yeah, flat black.
Call flat black.
Flat black, matte super steel gray. That's what it's really called.
Yeah, flat black. Because it didn't sound as flat black's not as sexy.
No. And so you take the flat black and you put that against with all the angles that it has on it,
mm-hmm.
It gives you very much that F-117 first gen stealth fighter look. So, you know, that's not going to appeal to everyone. I kind of could take it or leave it myself, but it's okay.
I think it's cool looking.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
cool. It's not bad. And the cost of it is $10,500, manufacturer suggested retail price.
So it's basically about the same place as Sportster 1200 is.
No, Sportster 1200 is a little bit less than that.
A little bit less than that. Because the Sportster, the 883 is what?
About seven.
And about then, seven and change. And, of course, you can't get out of the dealership with them for that price, right?
Right.
Ten's about the price you're going to get out with the 1200.
Yeah.
So it's about the same price as that. It's a lot more bike, in my
opinion.
It's
a lot more bike.
It is.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think it's got cool lines on it. It sounds like it's got a good performance. You know, decent.
Not quite as fast as Phil's truck, but.
Not as fast as my truck. Definitely not as fast as my Mosler. And I think the price is very attractive.
Yeah, I do too. Now, there were a few things I didn't care about it that caught my eye.
It didn't have a Harley badge on it.
Well, no. I don't mind victories. I don't, you know, so that doesn't bother me. But there's three things that really stuck out that caught my eye. Says, okay, a bike that's capable of doing 0 to 60 and 4 is going to be able to do good burnouts, and you're going to want to ride it hard. It only comes with a 3.4 gallon tank, so you're going to empty maybe that tank about every hour and a half.
Maybe it gets a few miles.
Yeah, yeah, but it's but it's not a bike. It's not a bike you're going to go ride for, you know, 2,000 miles at a time.
No,
you're definitely crashing that within the first 5 hours.
It's not that fast, Phil.
No, I know. Well, you're gonna do.
But there's gonna be also there's gonna be a super high cost of ownership to this bike. You got to take that in consideration.
Well, why do you say that?
Because you're gonna burn out so many rear tires, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Why? It's not that fast. We're talking about 104 horsepower.
Burning out rear tires. You're just gonna sit there and blow smoke.
Why do you think that it's not that powerful? You just said, it's like 76 foot-pounds of torque?
Yeah, but you're going to burn up the tires.
I don't get that.
I think this is...
I don't understand. There's no logic in what you just said.
I think Polaris... there isn't. He's from West Virginia. Elementary school. I think the genius to this is it's a decent-priced bike to get guys who are too old for sport bikes... Mm-hmm. But don't have the money to buy a dresser. And it still gives them some cornering. It still gives them some performance. But at $10,000, and it's a cooler bike, will it be accepted going for a ride with a dad or somebody who's over the age of 20?
I think it's a direct shot at the Sportster 1200.
No, there's no doubt about it. The same with the Indian Scout. It's the same thing.
And it's also aimed a little bit at the soft tail. You know?
To some extent, yeah. It definitely falls in that cruiser area.
I think it covers a little bit of that general area.
Yeah, it kind of strides it.
Yeah.
And it's trying to get more,
maybe more of the Dyna instead of soft tail.
Maybe more the Dyna. You might be right. Might be more the Dyna.
And then the last thing I thought was this one kind of did disconcert me some, was that its front brake, there's only one disc.
There's only one tire, so you obviously only need one brake.
Well, most of the bikes have, but a lot of bikes have, two discs on the front.
It's because of the weight.
It's slight. Yeah. It's slight.
Because of the
it
weight.
Doesn't need it.
It's weight. It's under 600
pounds.
Also,
and it's a single disc, two piston brake setup. And, a bike that's going 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, you might want to stop very quick too, and
hey, that's where you just jump off it.
Only once. Then you learn the lesson.
But yeah, I think it's a cool looking bike. I saw that this week. I was excited because we've heard a lot about the bike, like Ken was saying, but we haven't seen anything. And then all of a sudden, bam! Stuff started popping out. Yeah, I was like, bam!
They got some cool videos. If you go to the Victory site, they did some really high, quality videos.
So much of the time was spent talking about the motor. That's really consumed all the, ever since Pikes Peak, been talking about Project 156. And
you would have thought they would have put a little bit more, dialed it up to get more horsepower.
With all the talk about the motor and everything, the motor's kind of like, eh.
Well, I think it's only because of the buildup to it. But for a bike of that... you're looking at, you're fighting to get your.
How many horsepower does
the Harley 1200 produce? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean it's a Harley, so that's probably
probably more than 104. Maybe not a lot more, but maybe like 112.
I don't think it does that much.
I don't know.
Infinity.
I think the Harley 1200 Sporty is probably less than 100. Mm. We can look it up if you want to.
Yeah,
But
you should know that.
No. Yeah, I got all the specs for every Harley.
You sold your soul to Harley Davidson. You should know that.
That's obvious by the Harley Davidson tattoo shield on your forehead.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
And the Willie G you have tattooed to your buttocks.
No.
Is that Willie G was here?
I got the Willie G skull. All right. I think we beat this one down. I mean, the Victory's come out with a pretty cool new bike. It's got good looks. It's got decent performance numbers. I think it's going to sell pretty well. I mean, you know, but it's also competing directly against the sister bike, Scout. It outperforms the Scout. And it's competing against the Harley Sportster, maybe even the Dynas.
I think it's better looking than the Scout myself.
Hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out just because I pulled up some images to look at a couple other things on it. But Victory has the Gunner, too. That's actually a nice looking bike.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah,
Victory and their Magnum isn't too bad
Victory
either.
Victory has some nice looking bikes.
I still want a, what was it, an 04 Victory. What was it, A-Paul or whatever they had?
Yeah, that thing's. Yeah, I don't think they make the 8-ball anymore.
No, I don't think they do anymore.
But that was pretty cool. And the one bike in the Victory lineup that I think has needed a makeover for a long time is their bagger, the top line bagger touring bike, the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous when it first came out, but it hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Well, when you have perfection.
I think their focus, Polaris's focus, kind of slid over to Indian.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of been where all their focus has been. So they're probably not investing a lot right now in the Victory line. I think this whole thing with Victory, the electric bikes and the resurgence of Indian and all that, that's got to be kind of hard to manage. You know, that's like 15 different directions all at the same time. And I think Victory has hurt for a while because of that, but I think the Octane now is a little,
it's going to help them refocus.
A good kick in the butt for Victory to move them forward, I think.
Yeah,
I think so as well.
Yeah.
Well, we just got a few minutes left before the next break, so I'm going to hit a really short story. And you kind of mentioned it, led to it a few minutes ago.
Three little people riding on Octane. It's a short story. Come on.
Hey.
Somebody mentioned the Sons of Anarchy a few minutes ago. Okay, so well,
you mentioned
a good leader.
I said
why?
If you look at the bike, it kind of has that feeling like
because it looks like a
Jacks.
Dyna. Because it looks like a Dyna.
Dyna club bike.
Right. So they're going after the Sons of Anarchy fans.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've heard about the Sons of Anarchies and the Mind spinoff, and we've talked about several times for the prequel for the Sons of Anarchy,
which apparently has got a better chance of happening now that the story,
the Bastard Executioner
got killed,
the one hit wonder.
Yeah. Well, the story now is that Brad Pitt might be who knows, Magic Ball's number 8.
Jax Teller?
No, Jax Teller's dad.
What? I think Brad Pitt would be much better as Half Sack.
Or Peggy Bundy. Brad Pitt,
he's
going
to play
Jack Teller's dad in the prequel to Sons of Anarchy.
Which was John Teller. Okay.
So, Brad Pitt's
going to go to series television?
Well, yeah. this is the rumor that's coming out.
Has Brad Pitt ever done any series television?
Well, I think when he was early in his career, he did a couple
like
of shows.
Mickey Mouse Club, maybe.
Or something similar. I mean,
I can't think
IMDb
of
is coming up now.
Right.
But, Brad does ride. You see him pictures riding bikes quite often, so that's not going to be a stretch for him to actually do that.
And he hasn't gotten many movie roles recently, right?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, so.
The Charlie.
Maybe he is going to television.
Right, yeah.
It might not be what he wants.
Charlie Hunnam, who played Jax in the shows, has been speaking of the idea, and he says it's be a great idea, and he'd love to see Brad Pitt play his dad.
Because he's going to kill Nazis in that show. Kill me the Nazis.
Wow. Why does he care who plays that role? It's not like he's going to have one. Unless they're going to
flashback scene.
Unless they're going to CGI Hunnam's face onto a baby when Jax gets born.
He said that Kurt said,
you just gave a picture
in my head I didn't need.
Maybe he'll come back. He'll be part of the future because he did die like Jesus in the last episode.
That is true.
Hunnam said that Kurt Sutter is trying to get the Sons of Anarchy prequel off the ground, and that he is really pushing to get Brad
because
Pitt to do it.
Because he's out of work.
Oh, that's true.
He is out of work.
And if it does occur, Hunnam said it's only going to be a 12-episode limited-run series. So it's not going to be a multi-season thing. It's going to be 12 episodes and done.
Maybe best at execution of what's doing. Nobody got the memo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any television network stuff for him.
Okay, so 12 episodes. So it's almost
it's almost not worth watching.
Well, it's a miniseries.
You know.
It's a miniseries.
If they're not 2 hours.
You never know. By episode 11, you may be very glad that it's ending.
This is true.
All right, folks, we're going to go out to a quick break. And we come back, we're going to talk about something else.
Really quick break.
Really quick break.
So quick, we're you won't even notice it happen.
We're going to take a long break this time because I'm just going to leave the dead space in.
Okay,
and cool. You'll have to listen.
Very cool.
But he's mean to you. Hey, folks, we're going to talk about the fastest motorcycles in movies, music, and pulp culture.
Culture?
Wait a minute, wait. The fastest motorcycles in music?
Hey, okay. For example, the bike from Purple Rain.
Purple Rain? Was that fast?
Oh, you mean in the music video?
Or, yeah it could be a music video or the movie Purple Rain. It was in there, too.
I was just trying to imagine a motorcycle in...
The Honda CB400.
Oh, yeah, that was a screamer.
86 miles per hour.
What's the song about the BSA? Remember the BSA? It's a BSA song. Now I got to.
I don't know.
No.
You don't know that song?
I can't think of it.
Yeah,
now.
I might have known it sometime
I'm have to look back in the 70s.
When it came out.
Okay,
well, the electric bike company Evil O, E-V-E-L-O, so I'm assuming that's how you say it.
E-V-E-L-O?
E-V-E-L-O.
Okay. I'm sure Evil's family suing about now.
Evelo?
Or Evolve?
Evolvo?
Evelo? Evelo.
They produced Evelo. A list of the fastest bikes in the movies, music, and pulp culture.
And they're fastest based on what?
Whatever they came up with.
You just gave us a CB400. That ain't fast.
No, it's not in the top 10.
Oh, okay.
So I just gave you an example. Another one is not in the top 10.
Usually listed.
Classic misdirection.
Yes.
Usually when they say, we're giving you a list based on the fastest, that's speed, Ken.
Yeah, I would think so.
He's like, based on what? Well, definitely not style points.
Well, I was wondering if it was based on speed or somebody's opinion.
Listen,
or...
I'm going to say this right now. I'm cutting your mic if the number one bike is from that crappy movie with who's the guy that talks slow? Ghost Rider. Please tell me that's not number one.
Oh, it can't be. It can't be.
It's why not?
Because it's a Harley-based chopper. That's not fast. I can tell you that for a fact.
Well, get your finger on the button.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. I hate this list already.
Well, maybe it's in the top.
I'm going to give you a couple that didn't make.
Give
you
a couple that didn't make
the top 10. The Kill Bill Volume 1, the Kawasaki ZZR 250.
Definitely.
Came in at 106 miles an hour.
106 miles an hour?
Yep.
Screaming.
Yeah,
listen.
The Great
still
Escape,
faster than Ghost Rider.
The Great Escape.
The
oh
Great
my
Escape
God.
Triumph TR6 Trophy.
That was
105.
That outran the Nazis.
That's
the Batpod from The Dark Knight. 105 miles an hour. So these are bikes that didn't make the top 10.
This is their actual speed.
Movie speeds.
Oh, movie speeds.
Movie speeds.
Yeah. Movie or music or pop culture speeds.
Movie speeds.
Yeah, so it's not real life speeds.
It's not real.
Number 10 on this list is from The Walking Dead, the Triumph Bonneville 650 that Daryl put together. They rated it out at 109 miles an hour.
Never seen it go faster than 4 miles an hour in the walk.
Yeah, right.
But okay.
Because, you know, you'd think that the dead would be able to catch him as slow as he goes.
Guarantee the crazy guy that crashed into the tree in the gumball rally doesn't make the list. They know nothing about motorcycles.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, gumball rally was not on the list. You
right,
are correct.
Well, right. And as I can remember, that's the fastest bike I ever saw in a movie, other than Tron.
Okay, Tron was number 9. The light cycle from Tron Legacy, 144 miles an hour.
I didn't say Tron Legacy. I meant the fast ones in Tron.
Oh, they're
the same one, isn't it?
What, can we please explain why not really real matters in this thing? Because none of those
things
are real.
They actually built one of them.
They actually built something to look like one.
Yes, they're not real light cycles.
Well, it's in pop culture.
Because if you knew anything... photonic propulsion just happened.
That's right. But you can find out all about that on You Heard It Here.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
Number 8, the Kawasaki GPZ-900R from Top Gun, 145 miles an hour.
Okay.
Isn't it?
145 miles an hour. I'm going to... Just go ahead. I'm going to let you finish before I explode. Go ahead.
Okay.
This next one, I didn't even know... I never heard of it. I didn't get a chance to look it up because I got tangled
Easy
up with
Rider.
Something.
No, Captain actually, America bike.
No.
It travels the world at light speed because everybody seems to own it.
That's right.
Kendra's Power Bike from Akira. I have no idea what that is. It says it's rated out at 150 miles an hour.
I think it's a cartoon.
Is it?
I believe so, but that goes into the Tron category. Go ahead.
All right. From the Matrix Reloaded, the Ducati 996, ridden by Trinity, 162 miles an hour.
That's probably the first one I've heard that really makes any sense. Okay.
But it should be seventh place, obviously.
Yeah, right.
All right, and next on the list is the Burt Monroe Special from World's Fastest Ending in 202
bike,
miles an hour.
That bike broke 200. I thought it did like 600 million miles an hour in the movie.
No.
And it had a guy who was like 100 years old riding it.
Yeah.
Well, I did 202.
202.
All right.
That's speed and that's respectable. Okay. Yep.
Number
Akira
4
is Japanese animation film.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh wait. So
how did Ken
means,
know that?
That means
because I was probably searching the anime sites when I came across it. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, Phil, get him.
Those are who live in glass houses.
That's right.
All right, number 4 was the C1 from RoboCop. And they rated it out at 248 miles an hour.
Okay.
It looked like a real bike.
Okay.
From a distance.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number 3.
Vespa.
Number 3, the speeder bike from Star Wars, 310 miles an hour.
I don't even remember there being a motorcycle.
Yes, star. There was. But you don't remember the motorcycle? The
riding through the woods of Endo.
Did it have wheels?
I know.
The Judge Dredd, the Dredd bike from Judge Dredd movie, 350 miles an hour. Hey.
So I love how they take actual, look, because I watched Steve McQueen in The Great Escape outrun the Nazis, and the Blitzkrieg was faster than anything at the time, so that obviously had to be 700 miles an hour. They're just making up speeds for bikes they don't know.
That's what it
Which
appears,
means
yeah.
Ghost Rider went so fast it burned the pavement.
I want to know why the Tron cycle isn't faster than all the rest of them.
That's right.
It travels the speed of light, right?
Yes.
But Ghost Rider is faster at number 1 at 3,000 miles per hour. Got it out before you hit the button.
Oh, my God.
Who did that list?
Oh, my God. Evelo.
The American Electric Bike Company, Evelo.
All right, there you go. It's a bunch of people that actually know nothing about motorcycles.
Okay, and so that was a movie. So I guess the movies didn't include anything like Hitting the Apex that had a number of bikes that did over 200 miles
yes,
an hour.
Yes, you know.
It is pop culture, not real life.
Oh, not real life.
Okay.
Okay, so it's fake.
And you
so
asked about
the
Easy
top
Rider.
10 motorcycles that never really existed speeds.
Well, the Easy Rider was listed at 95 miles an hour.
How about
fast.
The Robotech motorcycles from anime back then? They used to. Mm-hmm. They not only did that, they
what
turned into
evil,
this body.
What about the little Evel Knievel stunt cycle?
Yes.
You know, that thing was fast as hell.
You know, or
yeah, if it hit
Vespa,
you in the ankle, it hurt.
It definitely would hurt.
What about the motorcycle that Dick Dastardly rode? That had to be faster.
Or the Lambrettas that run around Rome in all those movies from the 50s and
Ghost
60s.
Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Okay, so
I thought you guys would have a lot of fun with this.
Do they have a Twitter?
Yeah, because
I'm sure if you look it up,
I'm gonna send me that article because I'm just gonna send hate mail to that guy.
Why don't we just make our own list?
Let's make our own list.
We could
just make our own list.
Do you remember the Gumball
the fart
Rally
cycle? Remember the fart cycle?
Yes.
Oh man.
What was that from?
Speed of sound.
Speed of sound. Laying brown by the speed of sound. You know, you see lists like that, and it's like 3,000 miles an hour. It was a Harley. It wouldn't even run for that long. Oh, the tires!
It went up
fire.
The side of the building.
All the oil spilling on them.
It was on fire.
It was on fire.
You gotta be fast when it's on fire.
You know,
and go up the side of a building. It's gotta be doing 3,000 miles an hour.
Where? Just out of curiosity, where would they have got the speed? Where did it say anywhere?
They had no reason behind any of this.
They just picked numbers
out of the air. And you gave them press.
Well, wait a minute. So three
and had fun doing it.
They said 3,000 miles an hour, which is what, five times the speed of sound?
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Which would make it faster than any aircraft that we have in the air.
That's why when it rides up the side of the building, all the glass exploded.
What was the speed that the SR-71 Blackbird did? Like 3.8, Mach 3.8, something like that?
Yeah, something close to that.
So this is actually beats that, right?
So right at it, anyway.
Right.
Okay. I would say faster than that bike was Scarlett Johansson on the electric bike.
Yeah, she was pretty
hot. And your electric bike site, you'd think that would have been a logical
conclusion. Yeah, I would think it definitely would beat out the Walking Dead motorcycle.
the Walking Dead bike. Five miles an hour.
5 miles an hour. Right. Like, well, that's the list we should come out with. Actual speeds.
Yes.
Ghost Rider bike. Didn't move, the tires burnt up.
Right.
Walking Dead, 5 miles an hour. Never rode it fast.
No, we should do one of the slowest bikes.
Slowest
bikes in all movie. And what was the music thing? And I didn't get the music in any of those.
That was the very last one, was the Purple Rain bike. This Honda CBR 400.
Purple Rain bike.
There's been I don't remember the video, but I'm guessing it kickstarted my heart. There had to be a motorcycle, right?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Right.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that had to be faster.
Yeah.
There's so many moves. The Gumball Rally bike was pretty quick.
You know, what are the things
about the bike? How about
the
bike from
within your power to do is not to do a story if you completely disagree with it. So I'm going to go with you to completely disagree with that story.
I just thought it would be a lot of fun. Ghost Rider.
Okay, he's right.
Wait a second.
He's playing the controversy game. That's what
he's
doing.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I have one question, and I want good or bad, Ghost Rider.
Which one?
The fact that you had to X that means we mute your mic. Because that was the worst.
I like the second one where he used the big wheel off the.
I can't listen to him when he talks like that. That one movie set motorcycling back
10 years. Only 10 years.
No, the first
who's the idiot in
the
that?
First movie was a reason not to make a second movie.
Right, and right. People, I remember,
and the second one sold more tickets too.
Yeah, you know.
Look,
what?
I would have rather you said the four bikes from Wild Hawks.
Yeah. Was a better movie.
They were probably higher than
better movie.
Yeah, it was a better movie. I liked Wild Hogs.
Yeah.
We should do another one. That would be fun.
Why don't they make Ghost Rider 3 there, super fanboy? You have no idea how bitter I am right now.
All right, when we come back, Phil's going to talk about anime motorcycle racing.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to talk about Vespas racing on the top of the Fiat building.
Okay.
Because I'm going to put money down on one of them. Anything from Mission Impossible was faster.
Everything was faster.
Everything was faster. I shot a commercial using a Vespa, and it was faster. But we're back here on the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com. Locking in on your dial. I always wanted to say that. So we got a bunch of racing stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things we want to talk about is all this speculation, or as you people call it, speculation,
mm-hmm.
about the whole EPA thing that's coming out in a couple weeks. Their proposal about banning the modifications.
Is the proposal not coming up for a couple weeks?
No. You're 100% sorry. Wrong. The proposal has already been through. It's went through its commentary phase, and now it's in the point where they're going to make it a regulation. We had our chance to make comments and didn't.
Unless I read the story completely wrong, they're claiming in the proposal that it's already in the regulations. Okay.
Yes.
It's already in the regulations. And that this proposal is actually a clarification of the regulation. Specifically a clarification saying it's already in there and what does it mean?
Did they put this out for comment?
They put it out for comment.
Comment session is over.
It is a clarification.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's already, technically it's already law.
Over, and I'm sure the comments were universal. You are idiots.
No, there weren't, because hardly anyone responded.
Hardly anyone responded?
No.
Why?
Because it was written and hidden.
We found it, the clarification.
Yeah, after the commentary period's over.
Okay, but I mean, aren't there people whose jobs are to watch for those types of things?
Well,
They buried it in a part that didn't have effect on motorcycles. They weren't talking about motorcycles. They weren't talking about cars. It was something buried in some section, and some guy found it.
Well, it isn't. It isn't talking about cars or motorcycles specifically. It's basically saying anything.
Right.
Pretty much what we're talking
about. They tried to slip it through.
Is they're saying that there will be no legal modification
for competition.
For competition.
Right.
Well, actually, it's not even just for competition.
Well, no, it says specifically competition.
But it definitely says that. Well, what it says is it includes competition.
So I thought it said specifically for competition.
Yeah, I think it did. I thought it did too.
No, what it says is.
Because otherwise, Pep Boys would be suing.
Well, right. Well, right?
I think they will. I think they will be.
Yes. No modification, and it includes purpose
for competition.
Competition built bikes and cars. So MotoGP would be allowed to race here because they're not production built bikes. What it's saying is no superbike class, no super stock class,
no amateur racing
class,
period.
No amateur racing period unless you built your own bike.
Well, yeah, unless you built your own bike from the ground up or you used a stock production bike.
Right, it had to be
unmodified.
Complete stock.
Right.
Complete stock.
Right.
And it's the same with cars and it's the same with trucks.
But it doesn't extend to suspension, braking. It only is engine related.
Engine related and emissions related.
Right.
So what they're saying is that could destroy things like Moto America. It wouldn't affect Supercross because they're not street. They don't have any emissions.
Yeah,
rules.
I would say actually the effects are greater in the four wheel world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
doesn't affect NASCAR, but just about everything below it.
Yeah, because SCCA they're screwed. They're done at that point. If they can't modify.
Well, they have a bunch of series now in the SCCA that have
they have autocross
cars.
That use stock car. I mean, that uses production vehicles, but almost all their
A lot of their classes are chassis, are, you know.
Yeah, well, they have modified engines. I mean, they're, you know.
The stock engines has been modified.
Right, exactly. All of them. None of them are running 100% stock engines. It'd be a complete waste of their time.
Right.
So
you know, but it would affect anything that was production. So it would be flat track bikes. It would be road racing bikes. It would be all the guys
everything but Supercross and Motocross.
Yeah, pretty
doesn't
much.
Doesn't affect them because they don't have those regulations
emissions.
To begin with.
And I can't. There's so many weekend warrior races in the two and four wheel world. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how this can, you know, there has to be some kind of.
The effects are so far reaching, it's staggering to even imagine.
Yeah.
And which is why I said my initial comment on this is this, by the way, this regulation's been around since 2012, I believe, is what they're claiming. And it's never been enforced. And I 100% guarantee you this will never be enforced.
That's what they said about coal.
It's been around. It's been around for It's been around for 4 years. And it's never been enforced.
Somebody will do it eventually.
No, because eventually
some EPA with the marshals behind them will go out to a racetrack and shut it down.
You'll have a different EPA 12 months from now.
Those people don't get. They don't get fired.
The administrators do. And there's a bunch of appointees that are top the EPA, and they're going to be appointed by somebody other than.
Unless it's revoked, some rogue. And I'm using the rogue in air quotes.
You can do that.
Will go out and do something.
Okay, with a swipe of the pen, president can change any regulation.
I'm not disagreeing with you, okay, but until it happens,
so this is done.
Republican presidents aren't allowed to do that.
No, Democrat presidents only write new regulations, okay? And then you have to wait for a Republican to come in to get rid of the stupid regulations that exist out there. I'm telling you right now, and you put this down, mark this date. Ken says this will never, ever in his lifetime, ever get enforced.
You because probably said the same thing about the motorcycles.
He told me one time that within 2 years he'd be riding a motorcycle.
Hey, what did he say about when they banned the little kid bikes for several years? Did he say that would never happen as well?
No, I didn't
did.
No, because I didn't say it wasn't going to happen because it already happened at the time we found out about it.
It was the same way. Right. You snuck in at the last minute in some rig.
I said it won't last. I said it won't last.
He did say it won't last.
And it didn't last.
Took an act of Congress,
I'm telling you right now, people will show up with pitchforks at the White House if they tried to do this.
They better do it.
Do you know how many people in the south half of this nation that affects?
And that's their income too.
Oh, absolutely! I'm telling you, they're going to show up with
shovels
at the
same
and
time. But at the same time, you want to move that over to the coal industry. West Virginia's coal industry, Colorado's coal industry was basically wiped out. Mm-hmm. They don't care.
Yeah, but you know, okay, that you're that's a valid point. That is a valid point that people stood by and watched while the coal got wiped out.
The vast majority of Americans don't watch racing. They don't care about racing. So if the racing goes away except for NASCAR,
you are so wrong.
No, I'm not.
You go south.
How many people watch motorcycle racing?
No, it's not about how many people watch it. It's how many people do it.
Right.
400,000 people a weekend go to SCCA events alone. I bet the number's probably somewhere in the 80,000, 90,000 go to ASRA.
They cut more jobs than that in a single state.
But listen, that's just one thing. Now you throw in NASA, you throw in EMRA, you throw in all these things. There's probably more people go to their local racetrack still, even though it's on a decline, every weekend in the fall than go to pro football games.
I won't disagree with you, but I hope that you guys are right. I'm afraid that you're not.
More people the drag strips. More people go drag racing. You go to Old Dominion when Old Dominion was open, man. You'd go, man. Whoever goes there, you go there on a Wednesday night.
There's fewer and fewer and fewer of those places every year.
Yeah, but
I would tend to agree to a certain extent. However, participation levels are pretty high in amateur racing that would get destroyed by this.
Right. That's the intent.
Okay, I understand what the intent is, but that was the intent in 2012. Why didn't they act on it in the last 4 years? Why didn't they?
It took a few years to crush coal.
They didn't because they were afraid, and they're only bringing this up now because Obama's about to go out.
Right.
Which means that somebody is going to go out and shut down a race somewhere.
Somebody goes out and does that, and if I was them, I would get on a really fast flight out of this country.
Yes.
Because you know what?
If I'd burn your car.
Leave big holes.
Yes. Big forks. You know, I just saw a Facebook video of Snoopy getting out of chopper, probably faster than the Ghost Rider bike. But anyways, that's enough about that. Yes. Ken says it's not going to happen. Warren says it's already happening. And I say I'll bring the torches and pitchforks. Okay. I live close enough to throw them in the pickup truck.
There you go.
We had Supercross.
Yeah, some good racing this weekend.
We had Supercross and... I'll tell you what, it was, in some ways, it was, the two races were very, very different, okay?
Yes.
You never know in the 250s, this was the last of the 250 West for about a month, I guess,
yes.
Five weeks. Okay, and it was kind of set up to be, this was going to be a big battle between Joey Savacci and Cooper Webb, and rather than that happening, Joey Savacci got to tour the outside of the track for a little while, and it was over with at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
As soon as he crashed.
Now,
we'll give Cooper Webb credit. He did a great job of missing Savacci.
He did a good job of missing Savacci. I
thought, when my wife and I saw it, at first we thought he got run over. Then they saw the slow-mo.
It looked like it.
It was close.
It was close, and then... Craig, another good race for Craig. He's really impressing me. He's a guy who came out of pretty much nowhere. We didn't talk much about him last season
Christian
at all.
Christian Craig.
He was out last year.
So he's doing good. He's racing really well. And so in many ways, the 250 race was kind of at that point.
Yeah, I was not right. I was the 250 did not.
Well, yeah, because the big battle that was supposed to be that three-way fight between Craig Svatchy and Webb didn't happen. And you know what? If Webb doesn't get pushed, he doesn't make mistakes. If you notice that.
Yes.
You know,
if he's out front and he's in the clear, he's good. If somebody's battling him, he's not so good.
The 450 race was much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the 450 race, now this is what I saw. And and I was talking to Brian Downey, and he did not fully agree with me.
Okay.
So what I saw was that if you tried to do the cut inside line, which is how a lot of guys pass, especially it looked like with Roczen and Dungy, you know, where you take it short and you cut inside, you weren't getting any traction. The guy on the outside in the lane, in the line, was getting much better grip coming out of the corners, which is normally not what.
Okay, here's
what Roczen, because they'd be tied, they'd be even coming at the end of the corner, and then Roczen just had more of it.
Yeah, okay, let me kind of goes back to the problems that Cooper Webb's been having the last few weeks, where he's washing the front end out. One of the things that you get on a track and it's kind of soft and things, you have to steer with your back tire. You literally have to steer with your back tire.
Yeah.
If you try to steer with the front end, you're going to do what Cooper Webb's done the prior couple weeks. And I think Roczen gave an absolute lesson on how to do that perfectly. And I think that he had to go, I think Roczen had to go at an absolute 100% the whole race because he was being pressed that hard.
And I think this track was to Roczen's liking more so than Dungy, because it was really, really tight.
Roczen's really good at making almost a 90-degree turn using his back tire alone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a flat track tactic, you know, in there where you kick the back tire out and it lets you make almost like a 90-degree turn in some of these turns. And he was doing a better job than Dungy was, but that was the only difference in that race.
Yeah.
That
Dungy passed somebody and they passed him back.
I know. I know.
Yeah, but I think that is a product of the track as much as it was anything else.
Well, it is.
It was very tight, and it was...
Oh, based on the softness of the track...
And it was soft.
...is how tight you can make that turn, because if you can let that tire slide out and dig in, and the point it starts to dig in, suddenly you get a burst of traction at that moment.
Right.
And if you watch what Roczen did, he would slide, get the bike around, and immediately he'd take off, and that's where he'd... Dungy pull right up next to him, and he'd pull away just for that short second.
See, I thought Dungy wasn't catching grip.
That's probably true. It's tough.
I thought he was. I thought he wasn't catching grip, and I was like, it was shocking me because, you know, Dungy is known for being Mr. Consistency, and those tight inside passes. He's been able to put that KTM wherever he wanted all season.
He had to undercut Roczen a lot.
You noticed in that race that Roczen only took the inside line when he was cutting across Dungy. Did you notice that?
Yes.
That's what Phil was saying a few minutes ago. He would cut it at that time. All the rest of the time, he took the outside, and he would make those 90-degree turns at the outside by sliding that rear tire out, grabbing traction at that time, and shooting ahead. The only time he went to the inside is when Dungy was starting to go to the inside. He would cut across Dungy. It was a perfect defensive race by Roczen, and I don't think he could. I don't think he could do that again. I don't think he could repeat that. Roczen was hot. He beat Dungy in the heat race. He had looked good, all the week coming up to it.
I think this track really suited him more than some of the other ones they've been at.
Sometimes everything just comes together for you.
And now Eli Tomac, on the other hand, I don't think he
Something's wrong with Eli.
Are they missing the setup for him? He seems to be washing the front out a lot, which says to me maybe the wrong springs.
Something.
Yeah.
This is like two races in a row where he has. I thought he was going to do better than he did.
I think there's more to it than that, because he went from a very, very hard track. And this track, by the way, in the main parts of the track, was very hard and was very soft in the corners.
Yes.
And so he went from... Tomac seems to be having... If it's a setup problem, it should have been better on one track than the other. He's been right about the same place for the last three races. I think something's going on with Tomac, and I'm not sure what it is.
Maybe he's just not fully in shape after having both shoulders broken and operated on.
And it could be. It could be that he's just not well. You know, it could be that he's not well, but...
And I got to give...
And go ahead.
The guy that finished right behind Tomac was Marvin Musquin. I got to give him credit for being last in the start.
Right, yeah.
And really, really last, because
he was
several seconds behind the last guy. He got all the way up to sixth place.
Yeah.
There was a hell of a wreck, too, where a guy, I'm trying to remember who it was, that wrecked and went over the bars.
Oh,
hit
yeah.
The, hit
yes.
The whoops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't think
I'm
who that was.
Blank now. Yeah. It was a horrible
wreck.
Yeah.
There was in the LCQ for the 250s. The pass at the end of that one pretty much kicked him over, bounced off
yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
To get
guy
to,
has go, I thought for sure that guy was going to win the race and make it to into
make it
and
to his first make it to
make
his first
main.
Main and yeah. He got like boned in the last day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we also got to give a shout out, right? Wasn't it this week that the kid who won the did the dance after the, the you know they did yeah,
the mini bike to the KTM minis?
Right.
Yeah, they
did
were
you
great.
See the kids dance yes, afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's on our Facebook page. I posted it up today.
Now, I like watching, like when I watch Supercross, I make sure I always watch that because it's great.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's the thing that this kid did. If you watch normally, most of them will ride up and down the whoops.
Yeah, he jumped them.
He jumped a couple of them.
Yeah.
Clearly, what happens is that the kids try to emulate the riders, and it usually doesn't end in a good way.
No, right.
Because you don't have the clearance on the bike between the tire and the frame to jump the whoops normally, because you'll hit off the frame, and then bad things happen.
Yeah, these whoops were pretty steeper than normal.
And there was one really steep. They had a speed bump one in this one, and he was going over them like that, and I kept thinking, oh, God, no, God, no. But he held it. He held it, and then he got a great dance at the end.
He did. I just love the way he like jumped on the bike. I was like, yeah, I want to do that dance.
He just dumped the bike down and started dancing.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him. I give thumbs up to that.
Don't start kicking your front tire out.
No. Okay? Don't get too confident. You can't beat anybody.
And now
we should talk a little bit about
World Superbike
coming up. You know, we got a few minutes.
This weekend. Get your picks in.
Have we figured out what the true...
No, World Superbike has not updated their website.
So we don't know officially how the testing came out.
No, we don't. Okay. I've seen
Let's
two
speculate.
Reports.
Let's make it up.
We'll make it up. I saw two reports. One said that Guintoli was the fastest in the final session, but I also read a report saying Rea was the fastest in the final session.
If it's true that Guintoli was the fastest, they need to be worried.
Everybody needs
to
be worried.
If he's faster on that Yamaha already, and everybody speculated, how's the Yamaha going to be this season? When I heard they signed Guintoli, I said,
they're going to be fast.
They're going to be fast with Guintoli. If they did, in fact, come out, boy, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. So we haven't had Guintoli to talk much about in the last season.
No.
But he was the champion the year before.
Right.
So.
It's not like he can't ride.
So Yamaha... The Yamaha back in World Superbike, what that means. Nikki Hayden. Do we know how Nikki Hayden did?
Not in the top seven.
Okay, eighth place, so it's about the same as World. About the same as MotoGP.
He took his MotoGP spot.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for him on the final day of testing things.
He hasn't come in yet?
100. Yeah, he's still out there, and they're 24 hours behind.
Well, you can. Everybody in the world, we have a pool that we run, World Superbike and MotoGP.
Which, if you want to get in and you're not on Facebook, hit me an email at phil@ntnradio.com.
And,
it's just
and,
for bragging
and
rights.
I kind of imagine that 90% of the people are going to pick Johnny Rea this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go home and watch testing to see if I can figure out, you know, in the silence, what's going on, because I would pick Guintoli for an upset.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a good upset.
Well, that would be a hell of an upset for the first race if he was ready to do it in the first race. I'm probably not going to pick Johnny Rea the first race just because I don't know enough right now. I mean,
well, that's the reason I'm going to pick Rea, because he's
the
defending.
That's the coward's
way.
He's
the defending champion. He's probably in the top three
Can I tell you why? Chaz Davies would be a better pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, you pick him then.
I didn't say I'm going to do that. I'm probably going to pick Tom Sykes.
I love the strategy going right
here.
I can see Ken coming out with Tom Sykes.
I could do that. I can jump off that wagon pretty easily, too. So.
Yeah. Ken will ride Tom Sykes until Tom Sykes.
Yeah, he did that last year.
Yeah, that's what killed me. It's what killed me in the pool. Got me way behind.
And that's I was okay with that.
Believe me, I won't ride that. I won't ride that pony for very long this season.
Tom Sykes, you ain't my man.
The problem was, I picked him in the first half of the season. I should have picked him in the second half of the season when he did well.
Yeah, right, when he started getting better on the bike.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure what to make of it. I kind of think that we did see one report where Giuliano did well. Yes. Chaz Davies, not so well, but Chaz Davies has been extremely fast last season on the Ducati. I expect Panigale is going to be even better this season.
It's hard to know what, you know, our guys playing around with their setups, you know, they're testing.
Well, that's the problem.
Race.
It's their last chance to make adjustments to the bike, so you would expect them to put in a few good hot laps.
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to show your cards.
You got to have cards to show.
Anybody,
and the other thing too, I like to see is people that have run race lane. You know, have actually put in race lane. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, folks. Well, anyway, so since we're
done, that's music, jam.
Yeah, well, you did everything right last week. Wouldn't expect it 2 weeks in a row. It's very hard to double here in the studio.
I'm looking at the time. I'm going, we should be over.
All right. I thought so, too. I looked up and saw 12. Anyway, till next week, folks. We'll be back then. We might get it right. We'll see.